Holy Spirit, touch my lips, open our hearts, and transform our lives. Amen.
Amen.
Recently, I reread a book by Susan Epting entitled Unexpected Consequences, The Diaconate Renewed. It's a book that recaps the recent history of the diaconate and how we have and are living into the renewed diaconate and the theology of the 79 Book of Common Prayer. Now, not being a cradle Episcopalian, the 79 Book of Common Prayer is all I've ever known. So I didn't quite realize the differences. But both focus on the servant nature of Christ and the servant nature of the church. The Episcopal Church in the United States has only had 50 years to grow into them both. And in church terms, that makes them brand new. Let me give you an example. In England, they use the 1859 prayer book. The book also reminded me that laypersons, deacons, priests, and bishops, we are all called to fulfill the baptismal covenant and to be servants in our church. 2 weeks ago, the deacons of the diocese had an annual retreat at Shrinemont with the bishop. And over one of the discussions about the servant nature of church, the comment was made, after all, that's deacon's work. And that came as a reference to outreach and, oddly, washing feet. When we spoke about the servant nature, when we speak about the servant nature of church or the servant nature of Christ, we are not talking about merely a cleanup detail. We're not talking about bowing and scraping. We're not setting some above and some below. As deacons, we're told we are to hold the people of God an invitation to have their own diaconia, to kneel before friends and strangers and even betrayers in daily life, and to claim the power of the basin and the bowl. If we keep our baptismal covenant, we will be fully incorporated into the body of Christ and ministers in God's reconciling work. My son Justin and I are Eagle Scouts. And part of the ceremony is that we both at one time stated the Eagle Charge. Now, the Eagle Charge is a traditional part of the Eagle Court of Honor, where a young man receiving the rank of Eagle Scout is asked to reaffirm his commitment to the Scout Oath, but with a renewed meaning associated with being an Eagle Scout. It's an oath we both take seriously. Well, several years ago, our family was attending an Easter service when the baptismal covenant was reaffirmed. But Justin is not a churchgoer, but he commented to me how similar the baptismal covenant was to the Eagle Charge. I thought that was kind of interesting. Then, with a profound introspective look on his face, he said, "Maybe we should be doing a better job keeping our oaths." As Episcopalians, we have all committed to the baptismal covenant. We repeat the promise every baptism and confirmation we attend. And it reminds us what our Christian faith looks like. How do we apply those promises? How do we make them work in our everyday lives? Well, I've been thinking about that a lot, and I came across some article that I had a couple years ago. In 2018, the presiding bishop, Michael Curry, introduced a thing called the Way of Love, Practices for a Jesus-Centered Life. And it's a daily rule of life that is based on a couple of steps. Turn, learn, pray, worship, bless, go, and rest. Justin's comment about doing a better job of keeping our promises has been on my mind. The diaconate and the servant leadership has been on my mind. And the diaconate of all believers, that's you folks, has been on my mind. For some time, I wanted to write a series of sermons on a single theme. And during that weekend, I thought that every sermon I write for a while, I should ask myself and my brothers and sisters in Christ if I or we are keeping our promises. So to that end, with what a coincidence, the gospel this week is a perfect lead-in. So to that end, I will focus on just three of those steps from the way of life. Worship, rest, and pray, or prayer. Or as I like to say, eat, pray, love. These three steps from the way of love focuses on ways that we can live into the portion of the baptismal covenant that we promise to continue in the apostles' teachings and fellowship, the breaking of bread, and the prayers. The tradition of the apostles is rich in prayer, worship, and rest. First step, worship. Each day, we are called to reflect on the scriptures, especially on Jesus' life and teachings. The apostles worshiped communally, celebrating Eucharist and baptism. They formed communities out of very different people that we're not supposed to mix. People from different sexes, races, classes, Jews, and Gentiles. They ate and drank together. They did ministry together. They heard the good news of Jesus Christ together. When we worship, we gather with others before God. We do the same things that the apostles did. We give thanks. We confess and offer the brokenness of the world to God. When we break bread, our hearts and eyes are opened to the presence of Christ. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we are made one body, the body of Christ, sent forth to live in the way of love. The next was rest. Each day we are called to receive the gift of God's grace, peace, and restoration. God has established natural rhythms of going and coming, labor and rest. In our busy lives, we are called not only to care for others, but to care for ourselves. We need to make time daily to restore our bodies, minds, and souls. By resting, we place our trust in God, the primary actor who brings all things to their fullness. Rest is well documented among the apostles. They would rest after long trips, powerful ministry experiences. Jesus would find a quiet place to rest and to pray. Prayer. Each day we're called to dwell intentionally with God. This is nothing new. Today's gospel reading, Jesus told his disciples a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. Apostles prayed to God individually, for others, and in community. Jesus taught his disciples and us to come before God with humble hearts, offering our thanksgivings and our concerns. Also to listen to God's voice in our lives and in our world. Whether in thought, word, or deed, individually or corporally, when we pray, we ask to dwell in God's loving presence. I think if I look at these three areas, we might think we're doing an okay job fulfilling our baptismal covenant. Individually, we may do one area better than the other because we're all human. But is doing okay good enough? I can still hear my father saying, in life, good enough isn't. So this week, daily worship a little longer. Pray a little stronger. And rest a little deeper. But please, let us all ask ourselves these questions. How will or do you commit to regular worship? With whom will you share the commitment to worship this week? How will you observe rest and renewal? Have you kept your promises? Amen.